Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for our podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Obviously, joining me again is Robert Boyle. Robert, how's things, my man?
Aye, okay, Ryan. Just hopefully tomorrow's a bright spot of the poor season that we've had.
It could be a... I kind of agree with me. I don't know if anybody's watching and yourself, but can I listen to what Barry Ferguson says during the week in one of his articles? He basically says that if Celtic day one and they're unbeaten, their so-called invincible season gets undone, that it could actually put them back for next season. He basically says that there's no meaningless games and these type of games, and I agree with him that way. But so he's no really, what he was saying was, he was basically saying Rangers need to win if they want to, can I obviously keep up the unbeaten run. And I think he's very sceptical of Celtic winning the game, which obviously I'm confident again that will happen. I know we said it the last time that we were confident, but I just think the way we've been playing against them the last two or three games, and I just don't think it's... They've done nothing to win the game. It's just we've not been clinical, and I said it on Twitter the other day, if we're clinical, we win the game because we've had the better of them. I know the results haven't went for us, but I just think it's our turn to win this now. I think we've got to, as we've kept saying for the last few weeks, we're due to turn up sometime, and I hope that this is a game where we at least do something, because as we've said all season, the fans will do something.
So what formation would you go with, Ryan? What team would you go with?
I wouldn't go with a diamond, mate. Not at all.
No, I wouldn't go with a diamond either, mate.
I know.
Tell me your team and I'll tell you what I would go with.
I've been turning and throwing, right? It might be a wee cliffhanger, but I would go full 3-3. I would play Forrest and Elanusi with Edward up front, McGregor, Turnbull and Brown, and then your back four.
Just match them,
aye. I've been matching and go for it. If you play Forrest and Elanusi, you're going to stoke the wing back. Do you know what I mean? So, instead of just a diamond, I'm scared it's going to play diamond and it's still worked. It doesn't work. You can't, as much as I know what my personal opinion would be playing the three in the middle, right? But McGregor and Brown, for me, as a sitting two, don't work. But maybe we are three with Turnbull. It could give McGregor latches to go forward and it can be maybe give Brown to go back. So it's like a free but in a sequel. So I'm just thinking you've got to go for it. Again, see if we can beat 5-0, we can beat 5-0. If we can beat 1-0, we can beat it. Just I'd rather go for it than get beat than sit back and start. I know it's one of these games, it's like, what do you do? What do you do? Because if it's happening.
Who would you play at the back then, Ryan? Who would your defence be?
As much as I've slotted them all season, I would play Taylor at left back because I think the last two games, Lark Salt's been kind of shoulders. I says to my old man, I don't know if what you think it, but I know he's no centre back. But then if you play Ayer at right back, it takes that away from the centre back. But would you play Beaton at centre back with Welsh and play Ayer at right back to stop the right back?
I understand that, aye, because I don't think Kenny's the answer. I think he's been poor the last two games as well.
So, it's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it? Do you be solid at the centre-back, or do you be solid at the wings, or do you be solid at the full-backs or the right-back? Do you put Ayer right-back, put Beaton at centre-back, and you keep Taylor? It's, for me...
Or do you put Ralston's not a great player, but do you put him on just to push their fullback further up the park because he's a personal fullback, just to keep him occupied further up the park. I'm not saying that's the option to go, but it's another option that you could give him to say Ralston likes to get forward, so their fullback might not then want to push too far up the park because they get caught out.
It just shows you the barrels creating when we're talking about Anthony Ralston playing right back for Celtic, isn't
it? It shows you how fucking bad we've got in it, mate, that we've no got a right backs or left backs that you can say, oh, they two are a certainty to start or they two are going to give you. For me, I would go a 4-2-3-1. I would draft Callum McGregor, whether people agree with that or not. I don't care. This is what I would go with. I'd go with Taylor left back, probably Bain in goals or Hazard in goals. I don't know. I wouldn't go with Barkas because I don't rate the guy personally. I would go Ayer Welsh. Obviously, Kenny, because I don't think we've got much options. I'd have Sorrow and Brown in the middle as a defensive two. I'd have Tumbo further forward. I'd have Elanusi left, and I'd have Boris right with Edward up front, or maybe Griffiths. I don't know, but I think you've got to play Edward to the end of the season, try and get him a few goals, and try and get his value up.
I can agree with you that, and all, mate. I can see your balance of why you would do that. I know I gave it... I didn't slaughter Edward after the last game, but basically what I said and what I was basically, obviously I put up front myself, and you're not just judged on your goals. You've got to do a lot more than just score goals. And if he wants to progress to as a Leicester or a Milan, whatever it is, he's got to run more. He's got to chase more. Again, listen, be on end of, he could be injured and we don't know about this. There could be something up with him. Yeah. Again, you're just, I know.
The transfer is sitting waiting to happen. And people are saying to him, by the way, don't be doing something stupid. Don't overstretch. Don't be running the channels. Don't just get the last few games in. The transfer's there. It's signed, deal with it. You don't know. That's the thing with football now. You don't know what's happening. You don't know. As you say, as his agents might be telling him, just take it easy the next couple of games. The league's done. There's nothing to get injured for. You don't want to ruin this £20 million move or whatever it may be. You don't know. That's the thing. You know what I mean? But you're looking... And we're looking for supporters for him to give a bit more. It comes across as lazy, but he's still our top talisman, considering the other three boys were not up to much use. So you're still... He's the best that we've got, let's be honest. And... May it be a half-hearted Edward, he's still better than the other three strikers. Well, two we've got now because Carmel's away. My opinion, he's got to start. Because on his day, he's sensational, but he's just not been up to his races this year.
On his day, as we've said on the podcast, Rangers fans can argue, Hamilton fans can argue, Millwall fans can argue. On his day, Edward is... by far the best player in Scotland by a mile. He's the best striker by an absolute mile. People talk about Morello as well, blah, blah. What game was it? I was watching a game last week, I think Rangers, it might have been the Celtic Rangers game, and he mentioned about, oh, I think Morello's missed a chance, or that's unlike him. Wait, Eric, he scored about one goal in 15 games during the season. So if he hangs like that, for me, Edwards, as you mentioned, mate, he's your talisman. As much as we've done wee polls saying should he play and all that, listen, he's got to play, but and then you've got the flip of the coin. Kennedy's new saying Griffiths is fit. He's got his three games to prove himself for the Euros, so how can he not be fit beforehand?
How does it take 9 months into a season to be fit?
And then now you've got fans shouting for Griffiths to play, and he's maybe saying, I'm just going by what his articles are saying and what his press comments that he might be playing. Yeah, it's just a wee hint you take from him. So I don't know if he will go with maybe two up front and play Griffiths and Edward. But then if you're playing 4-4-2, you've got to drop a centre mid. So as you said, you drop McGregor and they play Tumble and Brown. I pull up my Twitter. I asked quite a good feedback for it. And Maystrom, I think they were saying, I think Brown just edged it. Brown's got to play. I said, did Brown play? Does Rogic come in or does Sorrow play? And they basically says it was two from between Brown and Sorrow. But
I think you've got to have grafters in the middle of the park. Sorrow and Brown, for me, will graft. McGregor's a good football player, but he's not got his... He doesn't put his foot in when it needs to be put in. He doesn't make 30 tackles that need to be made. So I think Soro and Brown would be a good balance in against their ones in there. And I just, that's why I feel they've never played the two of them in the same team. Let's see how they go. Obviously, Brown's come to end it, and I think, what Brown's gave Celtic, I don't think Kennedy will draft him for that last game because it's a bit of a shit show if he does. So I think bring McGregor out because McGregor's not had a great season. He's played every minute practically or every game. So bring him out and put Soro in. But I think he'll just go with what he wants. Simple, like, I think McGregor will be in there. I don't think Soro will be in the other team. I think Edward will be up front. I think he'll have mostly everything Marv says. Probably don't know where Taylor or Laxalt. That's the only one I'd say. He'll not know where to play. But after Laxalt's last performance there, I don't see him playing him, to be honest. He hooked him at half time. Normally that tells you that you've had an absolute horror show.
Best of it. Because if you just look at the last game, it's, you know, if you're thinking it's the chances you're creating, and it's, you're thinking, how's that not going in? If Ward scores that again, if he scores that,
you're like, the complex of the game, right?
Aye.
You would have been on the front foot, they'd have been on the back foot. No saying they weren't, but just taking a chance, if you just take one of these chances and believe in yourself. I think a Celtic scored early on Sunday, they could go and score a couple, but I think the team's lacking in belief, the team's lacking in confidence. It's just, I don't know whether they don't believe they can do it, or they're, you know, half-assed some of them to even put that effort into there. I don't know, but it's just the team's just on a right bad turn, and confidence is lacking, players are leaving, players aren't happy. It's just, you know what I mean? It needs a refresh. It was always going to need a refresh after this season, but now I think everybody's just desperate to get to the end of the season and see what we've got in store, who's coming in and what we're going to do, because it should be all in motion now, because it's, you know how short the summers are and how short the qualifier, how quick the qualifiers can run. It doesn't stand for no man. So I think it's just behind the scenes, it's got to be 24/7, to be honest with you.
Because obviously you're talking about Taylor and Lap, so I've not been abusive to Taylor, but I've given a wee bit of jip, criticise him all season, because, and I'll stand by it, I don't think he's good enough to take us to the next level. Again, if we'll speak about the manager situation again, but if it is how it comes in, he might transform into a brilliant left back, he might, but I just think if we want to progress to what, as Mr. Lowell says, an elite club, if we want to, because next season, as we all know, it'll be one of the biggest seasons in a long time, because if we win the league, we qualify right away, it's right away, you're getting £25-30 million. Players will want to come to you, so it's a massive season, as you say, about qualifiers, they're about 12 weeks away. Roughly about that, and we've not got a manager. Well, we say we've not got a manager. I generally do believe
we don't have a manager. We don't have a chief scout. We don't have a director of football. We're losing so many players. The turnaround's phenomenal. It's going to be like the old days when you used to see seven players get paraded in one day.
I know. But I generally do believe that the manager's been sealed and delivered for weeks. I just think it's a waiting game now. I generally don't think
I think so as well, Ryan. I don't think it's, you know,
apart from Eddie Howe, there's not really been any links. There's not been any rumours about anybody coming in, which normally tells you something's happened and they're going for players. And I understand that even though they're going for players, things still need to be in motion. But the guys who are leaving surely can't have duty of picking players. Like, there's rumours to have this guy for Croatia, rumours about him £6 million bid or something. I don't know if it's just paper talk, but I do believe I think it's been sealed for weeks. I just think he's sitting there, because suppose the rumours are that it's obviously Howe and Bournemouth, his contract's up in the summer. Well, I know that's true. I don't know if that's a waiting game with Bournemouth and he's waiting for obviously their staff, but I do think it is going to be him. I just hope we've not got egg in our face, it's not him. But I just believe we obviously, all the sources you hear, all the rumours and everything else, I think Celtic's a club and maybe look a bit stupid if it's no how now for what's been happening. I think the fans and the journalists are looking a bit silly, because as you say, every journalist for the English media and up here, they've been getting it, how's the man, how's gone, how's here, and it's just about who comes in with him. And so you're just thinking,
the lead singer for the Fellies said on Fox Sports that he's seen him at the West End house hunting. So to me, that normally tells
and you. And you like to think deal. Somebody like that when he be coming to the radio and telling you that if it wasn't true. So,
nah.
And again, the more
we get tilt snippets out, Ryan, we have been tilt wee bits of balls before, obviously, a lot of people, but we don't obviously disclose it because some are true, some aren't true. So, we do get tilt them then. It's normally a day after it ramps up in the papers or Twitter. Somebody must know something.
It was the thing we said the other day, and then a few hours later it was on your Twitter, we get ramped up. So just shows you what others been saying. It has been roughly right. So for me, again, the more is another big, just I keep saying a big chance, but if the manager isn't waiting as watching, it's another chance for him to put on a show. It's three games to go, it's three games. Can I just be honest, some of them are fighting for the future now. I know I'm going to talk about Scott Brown because there's a man I want to talk about him, but there's a lot of players who maybe are fighting for futures, maybe their own players who maybe they want to stay. It's one of the ones, but for me, it's only if we're going to keep a lone player, it will be Lanusse, in my opinion. But whether or not we keep him and pay him, I don't know. Because I think Howe's going to come in and just totally have his own say. And I generally think it will be. It's similar to the Rodgers rebuild, in my opinion. You're basically going to have players who have underperformed, but maybe can perform better. And he might just come in and go, I don't need to sign five or six players. I don't need to sign a core group and I'll get them together again. It could be that easy.
Yep.
Not easy, but it could be like a Rodgers mold. And as you only think it is, it's got a Rodgers feel about it. There's a bit of excitement. If it is going to be how the fans are like, right, as you mentioned, get this done with me. Win this game tomorrow, get the season done, and we'll just look forward to qualifiers with hopefully Eddie Howe. And it is a bit of excitement coming into the building.
We need excitement, let's be honest. It's been one dunce squad of a season. It's not been very enjoyable, has it? I could probably pick in one hand the games I've enjoyed this season, and I would probably say too much in one hand, to be honest with you. But as you say, it's just, we know it's been one of the seasons, it's been the worst season in 10 years. What Dermot Desmond said the last time when they knocked us at the Scottish Cup, or the League Cup, I can't remember what it was, I was at it, but anyway, he said, I'll not be letting that happen again. They angered him because of how they were trying to treat him in the director's lines, supposedly. So I don't think he'll take it lightly. We don't know what Dermot Desmond does behind the scenes, but I think he'll be wanting to get back next season, as you say. It's £30 million, £40 million, straight into the Champions League. It's too big an opportunity to fuck up. We can't fuck it up. It's as simple as that. If we fuck that up, we could put them 2 or 3 years in front, or 2 or 3 years behind. It's that important this season. I would even, if we have to play shitty football next season just to win the league, just a hard fought out wins, then that may be, if that's what it has to be, then I don't care. The football doesn't need to be pretty next season. It's about who goes 2 or 3 years in front next season. That's what happens. That's what we need to be focused on.
No, I agree with you, mate. Because I generally do believe, as I say, for the get-go, you're not making excuses, but if there's fans in that run, we win 10 in a row. I've said it for day one, and it's gutting because Neil Wenneth was the manager and he was performing the way he was, and the players were performing the way they were, some of them would have been sold in January and they'd let him have been there by October. So it's again,
it tells me the board didn't have a plan B. They completely arrogantly didn't have a plan B. They didn't think, what if this gets fucked up? What if this goes wrong? They did not think that, and this is why it's taking so long now to get a manager in. And it's just, they arrogantly just thought it was a given. If they flung money at it, it was just going to happen.
Because I'm not going to lie, mate, I thought it was a given. I genuinely did. I was like, I just couldn't see. But again, as we've said, hindsight is a fucking beautiful thing, isn't it? You spent £50 million, you've kept your key players, you're thinking, right, it should be a shoo-in, because we looked at the Rangers squad and what you're signing three transfers. They've signed Hadji, and now again, he, suppose when he signed, he was the best thing since sliced bread. Now they're talking about what to sell him. We all know Hadji was he signed on his dad's namesake, in my opinion, which is my opinion. Guy, Brian Kent, it gives you something that can maybe change a game, but again, I think he's overhyped. The last game we played them, obviously the game before that, the last game, he ran the ball at the park about 13, 14 times. Nobody says that. But as soon as Laxalt does a bad thing, it's all Laxalt's a terrible player. It's you don't get a balance between the two of them. But I just best to think it's one bad season. I generally just think it's a total damn squibby season we've had. There's so many things have been wrong. As we've spoken about before, we don't want to go on everything because you don't want to go back on everything that's happened because we've been through it all. I just hope that the game tomorrow, we win it. And in the day, you might just hope there's some beating one at home because, let's be fair, it'll be another nail in the coffin if we don't. You've lost your 10, they went unbeaten, but we've done. I know it's not the full domestic season unbeaten, it's maybe the league season went unbeaten, but so none of this comparison is to our season because that team we had shits the absolute fourth of that team we've got. So there's no comparison, but Rangers fans have been having their Twitter. I know it may be a laugh and a joke, but you can't really compare.
Well, I think they genuinely believe that, Ryan. I do think they genuinely believe that. I think they're a bit all right up the stairs.
Honestly, mate, I generally don't know how Twitter's free sometimes when you see stuff like that because I watched that game back the other day, the game we won, the games on the anniversary games, and I'm like, what a team we had. I understand that they were no at their best, right? But you've still got to turn up Monday games. It's all about pressure. And it's sad when you look back and you're thinking, we only had that about 2-3 years ago, man. And it just shows you how...
You must have lost a good part of 7 or 8 players being in, right?
But it just shows you
how... And they replaced them with quality.
It just shows you how cruel football is and how quickly football can change.
Aye, definitely. You look back in that team, it was full of internationals, men, and powerful, pacey players. Now I wouldn't say we're lacking in that. And I feel the more we need to defend better, post balls and... corner kicks and stuff like that, balls into the box. Somebody just needs to fling their head on it. I don't care the clatter into a guy. I just want to see somebody putting a bit of bravery in front of you. There's too many odds up looking for somebody behind them or somebody to side them to take responsibility, and they just don't seem to be it. And that's, I think we've lost like 48% of our goals to balls into the box and cross balls and that. Maybe dealing with that. That's a total shambles for a couple of say, like, that's somebody you would expect to an Inverness or Dunfermline or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not dissing their teams, but I'm just saying lower league doing teams that obviously don't put much into their training as Celtic and as much money and sports scientists and everything else that comes with it. I just feel coaching everything, it's just we shouldn't. I mean, we've not learned the full season. It's shambolic, to be quite honest with you.
It's been hard watching it. It's been a very hard watch. I keep saying about the last 2 or 3 games against them if we take our chances, but I generally just believe it. As you say, if we get the first one, take our chances, we've got the ability and the capability to go and win the game 3-4-0. That's not within our grasp. Even though we've not played well last season, you've still got the ability to players on that park. Just as you mentioned, we've still got James Forrest, who's supposedly fitting back. That'll give us a game changer. So Edouard might actually have an opportunity to get goals. He might not need to have the ball at his feet all the time and create his own chances. So that's why I was thinking about maybe going to 3-3-3, because at least you've got two Elanusi and Forrest, two attacking wingers, and then you've got Edouard. So you've got options up there. But I just generally think we need to win the game because we're not going to hear. We're just not going to stop hearing that about going unbeaten all season after him if we don't stop it. And I generally think it's, I do agree with what Barry Ferguson says. There's no meaningless games, and for us to stop that, that's a big incentive, and it should be a big incentive for the players, and it should be a big incentive anyway to win the game against your rivals at their park. That's no something you can argue. That should be...
We've only scored one goal against them, Ryan, in 4 games. That's shambles again. I know McGregor's had some brilliant saves, but you've surely got to, as you say, you take your chances. You score 2 or 3 a game, but you just don't seem to take them. So, rush of blood to the head, overthinking things, harried shots in it. It's like, there's nobody just getting on the ball and playing a wee bit of composure and try to slot the ball into a corner.
Aye, it's because I do understand that obviously there's a few people in the live team are talking about Forrest and sometimes he doesn't really turn up for the games. I've said that as well, I understand that, but we need
can change again.
I can change a game. Yeah, just an absolute switch of light. And I've been critical over the years of Forrest. People know me personally. I've been at the games. I'm like, Forrest, for fuck's sake, and this and that. And because I think defensively he's poor. I don't think he does enough defensively. But when you look back at his stats and you look back at the games where we were unbeaten with Rodgers, him and Sinclair were superb defensively. So I'm really talking bollocks because the stats, you know, these days, Robert, data and stats are a big thing. And his stats tell me I'm talking rubbish. So for me, I would play Forrest if he's fully fit. See, if he's no fully fit, if he's 8% fit, I'd rather 8% Forrest playing even for 60 minutes because it will give a different dimension. And it will give a chance to go up the park, as you say, to create chances. And we just need to be clinical. I think if we're clinical, we win the game. I know we need to defend, but I just think if we score our chances, we win the game. I know that's a bit of cliche because you need to score a chance to win a game of football. That's fucking my goal stuff I'm saying there. But in general, if we create our chances and score them and actually defend properly, it gives us a chance because we just need to try and not concede. Because I think if we concede early on, you know, you're like, oh, here we go again, aren't you?
We're limiting Rangers to very few shots and chances against us, but they're being clinical with our chances. We're probably creating three times as much chances against them, but we're not being clinical. That's the complete difference in the games. And when you're talking about Forrest, whether you rate him or whether you don't, look at the games without him and look at how much we needed our James Forrest in the team to create goal-scoring opportunities or scoring. You can see it against smaller teams that like to be compact. When we had no natural width, how much you're going to have. James Forrest would have dragged him wide. Would have opened the game up. We just had, it was so narrow with them. Obviously, we're not a lot of winners. Mikey Johnson's been out all season as well. So we've not really been blessed in the width. And I think that's been the big killer for us this season. We've not had any width all season. And when Forrest came back here, we started scoring goals. You've seen it against Livingston. Creating goals, creating chances, scoring chances. And then he gets injured again. It's just been, Julian's been at the back all season as well, mostly all season. So we have been a bit unlucky in a lot of aspects, but tomorrow we just need to turn up, mate, put a performance in, hopefully get a result. But I hate saying, oh, we're going to always win because it seems to backfire, but I hope to God they win this one, mate. As I say, if you defend well enough and take your chances, it sounds easy, but football isn't as easy as it makes it. So we'll just need to see. And what team he goes with, we don't know.
Because as you mentioned, he could find a spanner that works and play Dembele.
Yeah.
I don't think he will, but it just wouldn't surprise me if he finds a few surprises, because we all think the team is just about going to be, apart from one or two players, it could be set in stone. But he could find Dembele in and put a wee spanner that works, which I wouldn't be against. In the days, three games to go, why not play the boy? It could be something different. He could drop Belenussi and play Forrest in the belly. He could change the full system because you need to try something to change it. And if it has gone 4-3-3 or 4-4-2 with two wingers, then why not try the wee guy? Because it's only against Aberdeen.
I don't think he will either.
But I did think he done, I know it was only 15 minutes against Aberdeen, but
he might go with Griffiths and Edward, but he might swing that in. You don't know.
You can see with Dembele that he's a natural winger. I know it was only 15 minutes with Aberdeen, but he's getting the ball. He's trying to do something. But you can see the difference in the height in it and the physique of the first team players to him. And he's only, you can see the difference, can't you? It shows you how much, as I can't remember who we had our day in the podcast. I can't remember the last one talking about how the difference is.
Scott
was saying it to me. The difference is for still to this day for the youth to the first team, it is still a big gap, and I think we need to try and bridge that. And again, how do you bridge that? Is it through coaching? Is it through?
How was that?
Do you know what I mean?
Jonathan?
That's what it was. Aye, it was Jonathan. Jonathan Burns. Aye,
Jonathan.
How do you change that? But is it through coaching? Is it through gym work? Is it through? I don't know how you change the difference. Because it is, as Jonathan says, it is getting a bit less and less now. And these guys on the community team and playing right away anymore. They're having to play four or five games.
The whole thing is back 80s and 90s, isn't it? Not even 90s, like the 80s now. I think they used to be able to get them out to like junior teams to toughen young boys up. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd be allowed to do that now because obviously they say obviously it would harm their development and the physicality of the junior football. Whereas way back then, I think that was the way to toughen them up just because the way the societies went there. So that might have been a big part of it. I'm just putting an option out there. And obviously the reserve football was a big part of it as well, wasn't it?
That's something we've spoken about as well on previous podcasts mm-hmm. that we kind of spoke about it. And then about a few weeks later, it was in the paper and it was all happening. So obviously it was already in the pipeline, but I do believe that if reserve football was in the Scottish game, it would help, some, especially it would help guys at that level, at the youth level, instead of playing against your development guys all the time. I think it would help them. Because as you say, years ago, you used to be able to watch like Simon Ferry's, Simon Ferry and that Tommy Burns era, you used to be able to watch that on Celtic TV and you've seen some of the first team guys playing and it was brilliant. And all the guys speak about how good that was. Simon Ferry talks about how he played with Paul Lambert and he says he learned made off Paul Lambert 90 minutes, he did half a time playing training. And that just shows you how good these guys are. Maybe let's say like Scott Brown playing against the Berry in the youth system. How much is he going to learn off Scott Brown 90 minutes? I know that's Lee's position. But just the know-how, the experience, the awareness, everything that comes with that, and I generally think it would help these young players in the future if they can get a coach league or a reserve system back at the Scottish football.
Definitely. I've spoken about a million times. It's the only way you're going to develop young boys now because a lot of them are just playing at their own level and not getting the chance to really develop. And a lot of players try and get loan and stuff like that into the first division in Scotland and that now, didn't they? That's the only way they're going to do it. But not everyone gets a chance to go there. But I think that's the right way to toughen them up. And just to see, take them out of the Celtic bowl, I've been pampered. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just to see at smaller clubs how they're running, how these people are busting their gut to make a living, whereas some of them are living a pampered lifestyle at Celtic. Is, I think it was Sam that told us before, Sam Walter, that says that you're treated like pure a king at these mm-hmm. Celtic, and how everything's 5-star rating, it's like top chefs, they even move people houses, top schools, everything's really thought out. And when you come out of that, it's a culture change. It's like, well, I'm too used to having everything laid at my feet, whereas when they go to these smaller clubs, it's maybe you're having to graft a wee bit more for your money, you know what I mean? So, I think that's probably the thing with most big clubs, isn't it? A lot of young boys are talented and they just get lazy on it.
So just that as well, say like Dembele or Henderson or whatever, well, Henderson's a bit of Dunfermline, but say Dembele did go down to like Wraith Rovers part-time, maybe, well, I don't want this. I want to be in a big team.
Exactly.
I think a few players have spoken about that in other podcasts, and you see in the other podcasts are doing YouTube and interviews, and they say that. I think I watched one of our Davies out under the caution. It was a guy, a Cameron guy doing South, but he says he's been doing in the lower leagues for like 6 months to get fit. And he says he can bat and fuck, I'm not going back down again. I want to stay up here. And I think that's something the Colt leagues and reserve leagues. It would help you in a way because it would give you experience and maybe playing against other guys at that level. And again, whether or not it happens, can we afford it with the money now? I don't know. And obviously, Scott Brown, it's his last game at Ibrox for Celtic. Maybe his last biggest game at Celtic. People are obviously hammering Horan where he starts. I mean, the guy's got to start. He's pitiful to what we do, I think, on Sunday again. And I think maybe a wee extra thing for him to play good as well, to maybe play really well, because he knows his last game for Celtic Ibrox. No, but maybe a lot of pressure on him as well to play well for himself. So I do think it will be a sad day when he leaves. I think it will be a sad day tomorrow, knowing it's his last game against Rangers and he won't be the guy that's going to be walking out with the captain armband again. I just think, again, have we got somebody waiting next year to come in and take the captain's armband? Because for me, I know McGregor's maybe going to be the guy who's maybe going to get it because he's a lot of interviews, he's been the forefront. But my opinion, I want to give him, this is my opinion, I don't think he's getting the grab to do it. Well, no, I might be wrong. No. It's just my opinion. I don't think we've, the only captain I would say we've got is maybe Ayer, Julian, maybe at a push, I don't know, but we've not really got a leader of men on and off the park. Again, I might be talking shite, players might come out and say McGregor does a lot off the park that we don't see that makes him a captain. Mm-hmm. So, but just on the park, I would like to get, if it is Eddie Howe who comes in, brings a big leader.
What if he signs somebody completely that he's been with Burnley, or somebody knows down south and goes, right, he's my captain, he's all going to go under him? That's just things you just don't know, you know what I mean? He might look at Celtic and say, that lacks a leader. Like, maybe a Josh King he brings in and go, right, Josh King's the captain. I'm just putting that out there as a name. I'm not saying that's who we're going to sign or anything. But somebody like that, he might say, I've worked with him before. I know how good he is with players. I know how good he is in the dressing room. We don't know. It's as simple as that. So it's just all ifs and buts in it till we obviously know who the manager's going to be and then who's staying and who's leaving.
So I'm just thinking, the fellow Scott, I will speak about Scott Brown, obviously, in maybe a podcast later on in the future, basically about his career. But I just generally think that he's been underrated by a lot of fans. Just not just Celtic fans, Scotland fans, and the basically kind of worldwide as well. People say that he couldn't play down south, and we all know that Bids get rejected for down south. Spurs wanted him, Newcastle wanted him, and he said, no, I've just signed for Celtic. I want to continue my journey here. And
it's close to signing for Newcastle.
I generally do believe at his peak, he could have played down south. No bother at all. People say he couldn't. I think he could. He could
have. Well, Oliver McBurney can play down south. I'm not saying he's in the same position, but I think I would sub him at five aside, to be honest with you. I think he's that bad.
There's other guys down south like guys like Joey Barton. Joey Barton had a career down south. Came up here. I know he might be finished, but Scott Brown showed him who's boss up here. So, and the thing as well, I always remember the game. I was Roy Keane. He came up here in the game at Ibrox. I always remember how good he was. And again, that just shows you. Yeah, absolutely. And I watched an interview. Who was it? Dave's a podcast I watched. It was Adam Virgo. It was a guy, Callum, on Twitter. He's done a podcast with Adam Virgo, and I listened to it. And he says that week, Roy Keane was, his hip was fucked. He was popping painkillers mm-hmm. because he's seen that the press were basically saying it was him and Barry Ferguson who was better than all that, and he's like Virgo, I'll fucking show him who's the fucking boss on Saturday. And he was superb.
He was outstanding that game. We won 1-0.
But Adam Virgo says for 3 weeks his hip was fucked. He was done for 3 weeks. But he was a winner. He wanted to prove, listen, I'm not finished yet. And people are, I don't know if off topic, but I'm just trying to say that he's come up and he's done well up here. Barton had done all right down there and he came up and he failed. But I generally think Scott Brown could have been down south and done well. And I just think that maybe in a few years' time, he might get a bit more appreciation of what he's done at Celtic. Because as he says, it's a massive goldfish bowl here. The pressure to play here week in, week out, train here week in, week out, it's the same on the other side of the City Rangers. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. And it takes as you says before, it's a certain character to come and play here because it's a massive, massive club. And I was talking to Jerry the other day about it, and Celtic are a massive, massive institute of club. People don't realise how big Celtic are. I know they're in Scotland, but worldwide, the pressure of playing in Scotland and managing, it's fucking huge.
It's definitely like, this is where obviously been in England, you've got to laugh. It's like, if you get into the top four, that's a success. I don't find that. I can support a team and go, wow, we finished. I'm not saying that. Obviously, Celtic have been doing it. It's a different kind of fish, obviously, right? But like, you see like Arsenal and fans and all that, they used to actually celebrate as if they won a trophy finishing fourth. And I thought, that's a pure weak mentality to actually celebrate that. I know it's, they say it's in England, or and they don't do it in Spain as much in Germany, but because of all this Champions League change, it's like, oh, we're going into Champions League. And I just feel it's Celtic, at Arsenal finishing the top four, I'm not saying Arsenal are a big club and stuff, but some of the English clubs just accept being in the top four is a success. I don't think that's a success. I think that's the best of the rest, and that's, you either want to win, or winning is what Celtic's all about. You've got to win everything. If we finish second in the league, that's more success. It's just, doesn't it? It's not accepted. First in Scotland and Glasgow, that's the only time you're a success. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a different mentality for coming up to England or coming for another team, as you might get away with that with other teams and other supporters, but you'll not get away with it in Glasgow. The English Premiership just makes me laugh sometimes. It's like West Ham are pushing Chelsea for the top four finish, and you're going, that's pathetic. Chelsea spent £273 million in the summer.
I know.
It's a success to finish in the top four. Come on. You know what I mean, Ryan? That's what, I'm glad that we are raw in Scottish football and still got that passion. You know what I mean? Down there, it's the route where we placard. Somebody must leave and all that. You know what I mean? Conkey, I get out of Arsenal and all that. You know what I mean? Pure handbags and supporters are different for us.
As you say, success to me is winning trophies. Obviously, for us to qualify for the group stages of Champions League, that's success for us because of where we are. But
because of how difficult to make it.
And I just think, obviously, the manager situation, I know there was, was it the Sun on the Record trying to report that Kennedy was getting the DOF. I was like, this is just another made-up story to try and get headlines. And obviously, Kennedy came out and says, whoever says that, it's talking nonsense. Rubbish, because it's, I haven't even been had a chat. So, obviously, the rumours are that it's how, if it is Eddie Howe, as you mentioned, a winning mentality we need to bring back in. And I just think he's a guy who's, again, I've been watching Mary's coaching stuff because I'm just, more generally, my heart's set on him and I'm going to be gutty when he's not here. People think, in fact, I was listening to the Super Scoreboard the other day. I asked him to text you about it. People who are watching and who listen to the podcast, which release a laugh. It was Mark Weedy, and I think Cammy and Welsh's own, was it Hardy or Ferguson? Somebody was on the Super Scoreboard. No, Wilson. I think it was Mark Wilson, Mark Weedy. And they were talking about who would you rather have, Steven Gerrard or Eddie Howe? And the two of them said Steven Gerrard. And honestly, Robert, me and my dad were listening. I took my headphones off and went, are you shitting me? A guy who's had Liverpool under-18s or whatever it is, he's won one trophy in 9 years, but you want to take in a guy who's managed the Premier League for so many years, he's managed down south so many years, he's managed youth players, he's brought them up to the Premier League, he's won trophies, got them up, won promotions, got them up. I think he finished, was it 11th or 10th in the Premier League, the Bournemouth? And the only reason they've been doing this because he says because
revamped injuries.
We ran out of gas, injuries, we lost our philosophy.
Yeah, I remember watching one of the games and I think he had 11 first team players. And that was them fighting relegation and they nearly survived it at the end of the season. And I thought, that is one unlucky team because they've just, and then Aston Villa got a goal scored against them that season and it VR'd and they got it and they would have stayed up otherwise. So I think he was very unlucky. I think obviously it just took its toll on him at the end. But I were incredible job in front of Bournemouth. So why, you know, that's, I don't know whether to say that to be controversial and just get people phoning in. Because old Duke Evans is famous for that, isn't he? And it was shitey courts.
Well,
he says it. The last time Celtic played Rangers at Ibrox was that's Rangers get an easy run to the cup to win the cup. You know what I mean? And they go and get knocked out with St Johnstone. So he's just suspecting everybody. You know what I mean?
I just genuinely believe that quote for, I have got a lot of respect for Hugh Keevans, obviously, because he's done well in the media. But when it comes to some of his comments,
Callum Davidson should be manager of the year. Without a shadow of a doubt.
See, even if we don't win that,
I mean, I wouldn't beat him today.
I think, to be fair, again, I actually quite like Simon Ferry when it comes to his opinions of football because he says it's a Josh with finished third, and they're close to it. And he said, I think he says next year they'll finish third. He says, listen, he'll do well at them. And again, he's turned out to be right. He's done really well. And that's how many money. Remember, it's in Josh.
Exactly.
They've got a lot of money.
Developing a lot of young players, I know.
I know a lot of people were saying a goalkeeper. Nah, sorry.
I know, he's a top one at the start.
And then they were saying to sign the boy Sean Rooney because they're a Celtic fan. No, as much as no, Sean Rooney, exactly. He's good to beat his Dennis and Johnson.
The only one I would say is, I think it's a young boy in midfield, Ali McCann, I think it is. think he's a good. I wouldn't say him for sure, but he's the most brightest prospect out of St. Johnston. You know what I mean?
But I just own the fact how honestly listen. I don't listen to Super Scoreboard anymore. Right? I've kind of boycotted it because I don't care what anybody says. It's getting mid anti Rangers as it goes. It's already anti Celtic. Just Rangers all the time. It's same as Premier Sports all night. It was all Rangers, and I think it was a sporting game or something. It was a Aberdeen game, Scottish Cup game. Peter Lovingkrantz was on the panel. What is Peter Lovingkrantz doing on a panel with Dundee United in Aberdeen? Why is a Rangers or Celtic player on a panel? That's not a debut. You know what I mean? That's why I think football is finished like that, man. It should be Aberdeen player, Dundee United player, or former players. If that's their game, that's not a debut Celtic Rangers. It's just wee things like that. They annoy me now. My dad tells me I'm getting pure bitter. I'm not getting bitter. I'm just getting annoyed because it's tough. I'm like, why is that happening? Why has that been allowed? But only Eddie Howe, that comment was ridiculous that they says. Honestly, I couldn't believe. Honestly, I think I was eating something in the past out, Robert. I was like, you, an experienced Premier League manager who has been tipped for the Spurs job, Newcastle, England job, but you better take a guy who's won one trophy in 9 seasons because Celtic have. Listen, we've said before, I take my hat at Rangers, they've won the league with fair and square, they've played well, but it's to us to have a total capitulation, a mix-up, a pandemic to happen with no fans. A lot has, I say, we don't want to go on it, but only the how, if he signs with a scarf, then I'll be happy, and I will be happy guy. I think he'll transform us, I really do. I hope that it comes in and just does like Roger's done. I think that's the similar feel I'm getting.
I hope the board back him, but with everybody he wants. I hope it's no pretty, or we can give you that one guy, but you need to keep John Kennedy, or you need to keep Gavin Stratton, or we need to pick a director of football for you. I hope it's no in that case, because you've seen what happened to Lennon, and it just doesn't work. The guy's got to have people in about him he can trust and go to, or what he needs at specific times.
Definitely, mate. I think it's, well, according to the articles, Desmond's going to give him a war chest. What's a war chest? 15 million, 20 million? I don't know. But as you say, by the League Cup final, when Rogic missed a penalty, and obviously Dave King was in, was it Charles Green or Dave King was in the ears? That's us back. And as you say, Lowell when it went, fucking no chance. When we get Rodgers, I think this has got a similar feel to it. Because I generally think the board, I know the board have been quiet, but I think they've took it on this season and realised that this can't happen again. Because as we all know, we've got the biggest, biggest fan base in Scotland. We've got the most money. We've still, in my opinion, got the best squad. It's just no worked out this season. But obviously, again, the Mora, just try and win the game, stoke the rut a wee bit of the unbeaten run. But obviously, your last thoughts, and obviously overall recent news, Robert, the game tomorrow, which obviously are your last thoughts before we end it there?
Hopefully get a result tomorrow. I'm not even going to make a prediction. 1-0, 2-1, whatever. As long as we win the game. Get the game out the road and then get the announcement of some sort of manager, director, football, what it may be, and start progressing and getting everything into action for the start of next season, because we need to get the season book sales out. We need to, new strips are coming out. They need some sort of thing to sell it to the fans. They need a manager, they need a director of football, whether they may be going that route. And to sell strips, they need a name to come in, sell strips with a name on the back of it. So I reckon by next week, you should really know where Celtic are going to be next season and what sort of way we're going to go, like half a gugger. And then probably, obviously, we'll know more about fans getting into stadiums as well soon. If the numbers stayed in, which would be good, be a positive.
It would definitely be a positive outcome for next season as well, especially when you're managing. It'd be a shame if it was a big manager like Eddie Howe and you can't have fans to go and like Rodgers. It'd be a bit of a shame. Like Laxalt, as much as Laxalt might not be the best he's been here, but I do agree with what he says, that he's gutted that he can't play in front of the fans. I think that's maybe a, again, that could be something that is affecting these players. But Again,
you better watch Sitak because some of his performances is beginning for him.
I know. It's catch 22, isn't it? Do you want fans in? Aye. Give you abuse. No fans, you've got abuse outside. So it's smarty ones. But again, I agree with what you're saying, mate. I just hope we do get 3 points to board. And day, as I've said, stop the rut. And I do agree with Barry Ferguson. I think if we do win the game, it puts a wee tiny bit of doubt in your mind for next season.
A lot of real things like get knocked at the cup with St Mirren and St Johnston. It's putting doubt amongst them.
It'll be a battle.
As a support and the papers. Aye. And that would just add to it. You know what I mean? If we went there and beat them, it'd be, hold on a minute here.
Aye.
So I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
I says, mate, I just hope for my back on, it's a victory and no other negative podcast. But again, Robert, thanks again, mate, and take care. Keep safe, keep well. Cheers,
aye,
mate.
Same with you, mate. See you soon, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.